with the ruler.
Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hedy coming live from Yorba Linda, California. We are almost inside your living room.
Hello. This is a good angle. Just our faces. I hope the touch up my appearance doesn't leave my face right now. You'll see all my wrinkles. Love you guys. Welcome to resurrectministry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel throughout the world. We have all kinds of resources to expand your walk with Christ, to touch new areas. We hope he will meet you in a miraculous way right where you are. Drop us a line, let us know what you think, and we would so appreciate it if you care to partner with us, click the Donate Now button. And if it's financially not a possibility for you, like, share, subscribe to our social media channels, to YouTube, watch us on the Real Life Network, whatever it may be. That's truly a blessing for us.
Yes. Did you say hit the donate button?
Hit the donate button.
I think I might have been thinking about something else. Hello, my friends. Make sure and comment. Let us know what you think about A.W. Tozer's devotional, what comes to you biblically or otherwise. Whatever, if you have any comments about any of the things that we are talking about, you may be able to add to the conversation. Or sometimes I like to phone a friend and I'll reach out to you to help me answer a question. Usually Hedia knows the answer, but just in case there's one of those things where Hedia doesn't, you guys will come in handy. But just keep the conversation going. Type your comments. If you can't think of anything else, just tell us where you're from, where you're watching from, and how your day was on church day, Sunday. Did you go to church? And was there anything particular that jumped out at you from the message? Maybe you heard at your own church. So just write that in the comment. That would be fantastic. The next thing you want to do is check out our sponsors, which are down in the description. LifeWise is one of those sponsors, and they have great supplements for you. They got vitamins, and they got things that help you sleep, reduce some of your inflammation, and bring beauty to your face. I'm really 104.
You're aging very gracefully.
Go to StreamYard and check that out. If you have a hobby that you want to tell others about, if you have a devotional you want to share with others, just like this one, use StreamYard to do it. It's very easy. Don't worry about doing all the things that we're doing now. I've been doing this for 15 something years, but you just want to just click the button that says go live, and then you'll be on all the social medias if you want, or just one. Just go on Facebook or go on Twitter or LinkedIn, whatever you want to do. We just happen to be on three different Facebooks, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Rumble right now. So we just know there's a lot of people that watch these things in many different
ways. And real life.
And real life. Yeah, but that's the recording. Our podcast, of course, is on iHeartRadio and Spotify and all the
Apple
and Shenanigans podcast. It's on them all. You just want to check it out. But StreamYard allows us to do that. So make sure and use that. And then make sure and look in your Bible to look to your Bibles for Psalm 1:1-3. We'll be reading that one just a little bit later on. And just to give you an example of the comments that come through, we have Cindy Hauser on.
Hello, Cindy.
Saying hi. And Kevin says, I look great.
Yes, of course. As always. It's all about
man
you.
To man. You know, it's a man
mono
thing.
To mono.
Yeah, we're talking man stuff here. Corrine says,
Fabulous day for your family. Yes, it sure was, Corrine. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to share some of that that story a little bit later on. Kelly Elliott saying hi. Where's Kelly from? Oh, we're supposed to know these things off the top.
Whoops, Kelly, where are you from? Remind us.
I think she's local, but I'm not 100% sure.
I know she follows Pastor Jack, but that doesn't mean she's local.
I think she's the Calvary Chapel Chino Hills person. Kate from Australia. She's really close.
Yes.
Canberra, Australia. Nice to see you. Cindy says,
I did go to church, and the message was in God, being God, not us, and God is the great communicator.
Yes.
Love that. Yay.
And Maria Baker is on.
Shalom, shalom, and blessings, loving hosts and everyone that's watching. Thank you, Maria.
And Kate saying, congrats on your lovely daughter's baptism. Oh, you gave it away. We were going to tell about that later on.
They're saying congratulations because they're Facebook friends.
Yes. All right. We'll talk a little bit about that. Thank you, Kate. All right. So that's an example of what you can do in the comments, and we'd appreciate that and more. So keep them coming. That would be fantastic. Again, Psalm 1 through 3 is going to be our scripture later on. Right now, we're going to be reading from A.W. Tozer for The Christian Leader for April 7th. The title is Just Meditate for a Month. Wow, that's a long time to be meditating. I don't know if I could do that.
I think he means like think and don't speak.
All right. Well, you tell me that after I get done reading, if that's what he means. Psalm 1:2 is his reference, and it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let the old saints be our example. They came to the word of God and meditated. They laid the Bible on the old-fashioned handmade chair, got down on the old scrubbed board floor, and meditated on the word. As they waited, faith mounted. The spirit and faith illuminated. They had only a Bible with fine print, narrow margins, and poor paper, but they knew their Bible better than some of us do with all our helps. Let's practice the art of Bible meditation. Let us open our Bibles, spread them out on a chair, and meditate on the Word of God. It will open itself to us, and the Spirit of God will come and brood over us. I do challenge you to meditate quietly, reverently, prayerfully for a month. Put away questions and answers and the filling in of the blank lines in the portions you haven't been able to understand. Put all of your cheap trash away and take the Bible.
Your cheap trash.
Get on your knees and in faith say, Father, here I am. Begin to teach me.
Guide me, Lord, as I take time to meditate on you. Tozer is stimulating me, but my real desire is to hear from you. I'll get on my knees this morning, Lord, in quiet expectation. Amen.
Amen. Yes. I say yes to this.
Yes.
How do we begin this process? Do we need to have a prayer room?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about this ever since we listened to Francis Chan saying he was competing with his daughter about how fast he could read the Bible cover to cover. And there's something to be said for the fact that we have all of these resources. We have 17 different versions of the Bible on our phone. We have all of these commentaries. We have Google. We look things up. We've got dictionaries online. We have the Enduring Word. And yet, it's like everything else. We have access to so much information, but we're not gaining wisdom. Mm-hmm. We're gaining knowledge. And Jackie Perry was saying the same thing. Like, we need to stop just reading the Bible to gain knowledge, but start to really absorb the Bible so that it's engraved on our hearts. And that requires doing it in a contemplative fashion as opposed to a study fashion. Nothing wrong with studying, but there should be time when we read the Bible for it to read us. Mm-hmm. And to open our hearts and to transform us and to change us. And it's not about understanding every single word that's written. It's about communion with God.
Yeah, just what you're talking about. It says, put away questions and answers and the filling in of the blank lines in the portions you haven't been able to understand.
Right.
And that is the excuse that I used, and even one of our people in our community church saying, you know, I can't understand it. I don't understand it. You know, and I heard myself, you know, that's why I don't read the Bible, is because they talk about all these names for, you know, a good couple pages of the Bible. I don't understand why they do that, or
bring too much of your mind into it.
Yeah. And you just think, you know, at the time you're thinking, well, if I can't figure that out or understand it, then there's no sense that I read the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, it is the reading of the Bible that will bring those things to you, the whispering of from God that will then begin to put some of those things together.
Absolutely.
But it says, surely is an excuse not to read the Bible.
It's God's love letter to humanity. Mm-hmm. You got to pick it up with that reverence and be like, Lord, speak to me. What are you trying to say to me? And just let it wash over you. It's not about, do I understand these historical facts at this very moment? Like, I wrap myself in a knot because I've done a number of Bible studies on Old Testament books, you know, and so I get myself wrapped in knots. Wait a minute, is Babylonian captivity coming now? Or wait, did the Babylonian captivity pass already? Did the temple, was this the destruction of the first temple? The second? And I literally cannot read any of the Old Testament books, which I'm really like, I'm rereading Ezekiel, Isaiah and Daniel. And every time I do it, I keep trying to remember what time period they're in, you know? And I'm like, Lord, I just stop doing that. You know, I just want to stop. I want to remember the historical context every time I pick up the book. And I'm like, I need to stop doing that because they're such prophetic books. They're so important. I just want the Lord to reveal himself to me through them. So it's a process, I think, of taking our mind out of it. I knew Corinne would relate to that. She's like, you're telling my story.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you brought up something too, again, and I'm gonna revert to my notes from Pastor Bob's message today. But you said something about that it's God's love story,
love letter
to us. The other thing is that, you know, quite often, like many people, I buy books based on who wrote them. I'm really into self-help or, teaching me something about what's going on in our world. And I go to those people that I respect, you know, whether it's Tucker Carlson or, like a Tony Robbins book or, who else? I mean, there's a number of people that are writing books that you go to because of who wrote them. You'll specifically buy those books. Somebody else that you don't know could write even better stuff, but you don't read them because you don't respect them, maybe because you don't know who they are. You don't revere them as you do these other people, but you go to the people that you revere. So here's the important thing. The one book we should revere is the one written by the God who created the universe,
right?
And who created us and everything.
He's got something to say.
And we go, you know what? I don't have time for his book, but I have time for Tony Robbins' book.
Right.
How ridiculous now that seems.
Right.
And I like the notes that say here, realize the source and scope of the book. The source being God, and the scope is everything that we need to know about our life and our life beyond this life.
Yes.
The scope is huge, and the importance of it is just beyond anything that we can imagine. And so the fact that we hesitate to read the book or put it off or make excuses as to why we're not reading it, that I did, and I'm talking to myself, is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
Spoken from a skeptic.
My Lord, the things that we do to ourselves.
Oh, my lands.
Yeah. What's Cindy saying there?
We need knowledge, but it needs to soak in and become applicable wisdom of God. It's a living, powerful work that empowers us in the Lord. Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard to shut the mind off. Mm-hmm. You know, the mind always wants to drive the bus. And so you have to turn it off sometimes. You have to lead with the heart and with the spirit so that it could really absorb what God is trying to say. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say the same thing to everybody. There's words written on the page, but different people get different things from it. That's what makes it so personal. We were in this coffee shop. It was an Arabic Muslim Yemeni coffee shop, and they had a little pamphlet to proselytize about Islam. And one of them was, what was the title? Is Jesus God? And yes. Something to that effect. Yeah. Do you know the real Jesus or something?
Hold on.
And so, yeah. Oh, you have it?
Yeah, I have it.
And so they were reading through, I was reading through the quotes, and this comes up very often. It actually came up in a conversation the other day when I was talking to a lady that was raised by one Christian and one Muslim parent in Iran. And what often comes up, it's an argument I've heard and used myself when I was a Muslim, was that God has no rivals, partners, or equals, reading from the flyer. And Jesus was born, he ate, he slept, he prayed, and had limited knowledge. All attributes that are the opposite attributes of those associated with God. So what Muslims always say is that God is too magnificent to come to earth and be a human being. Like, why would God eat and sleep? And I tell people in response to that, and what I told this lady the other day, it's not about whether he should, right? He's God. So do we acknowledge that he's capable of it? if he could send his Holy Spirit to impregnate a woman, we acknowledge that God can do it, right? So everybody can agree that God can do that. And the question is your relationship with God is so distant, you don't believe he should have. And what God's trying to tell you by sending his son and giving his only, John 3:16, giving his only son as a sacrifice for us to be saved, was that he wanted to have a relationship with us. And the only way he could do that was to come incarnate. He had to come in human form so that we could form a bond with him. He didn't have to. And it's not a matter of, well, he shouldn't have. Why shouldn't he? He's God. He makes a creation and we're so far away from him. Just read the Old Testament. He's like, I don't want to lose you forever. So I'm going to come incarnate so you can relate to who I am and what I could do for you. So it's the equation for Muslims is always off, because the equation is he's too great for that. Why would he do that? Well, because he loves you. God so loved the world. And for a Muslim, that's very hard. Wait, what do you mean he loves me? I mean, I don't get what you mean he loves me. It's a word that's not even hub. The word in Arabic doesn't even exist in the Quran. So it's breaking through that barrier with people sometimes is it's hard, yeah. Muslim or not, to just accept that God loves us. He writes a book. He sends his son to pay the price of our sin because he wants. And, you know, I thought it was a cliche when people used to be like, Jesus loves you. You can't really, and I'm really starting to understand just what that terminology means, that he loves you. Hmm. Like that God sent his son to earth because he loves us. He writes the book because he loves us.
Wow. So the flyer is called, I Love Jesus Because I'm Muslim.
That's what the flyer is called.
That was a really good pamphlet to understand the arguments.
Yes.
To be prepared for some of these arguments that they have. That they do believe Jesus was, that he existed, but that he was a prophet. They claim that they believe that he was
virgin birth.
A virgin birth.
Yeah.
And a number of other things, but not that he was God.
Right.
In human skin.
Right.
So that was really good. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
That talk. You're full of
little nuggets.
Little nuggets.
Little nuggets.
Oh, and Kate says, beautiful idea.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So today we had a very full day.
Busy church day. We went to church many times today.
Yeah, three times.
Yes.
We did the hat trick.
Yes, we did.
Of church visits. And we started with service. Came home. I changed into my bathing suit. My little one-piece bathing suit. And Zara got ready because as was noted in our comments is that Zara had decided to be baptized today. Do you want to tell a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, it's just been an amazing journey. She's been she's had a really rough go of it. Teenagehood has been just really, really rough for her. And there was, as I mentioned before, in this little church for young people, she rededicated her life, gave her life to Christ as a mature young person. And then she went to church camp and loved it. Had a lot of very, very cool God moments there. And then when Easter came, she decided she wanted to get baptized. She's like, Mom, is it okay? I know I was baptized when I was young, but is it okay that I want to get baptized again? I was like, absolutely. She's like, yeah, I want it to be for me this time. Mm. That's what led up to it. And it was interesting because I don't know how many times I've sat in a church service praying for her to give her life to the Lord. Like literally every holiday that comes up, especially Easter, especially Pastor Jack would make a big deal, similar to what Pastor Bob did, of the altar calls on Easter, right? And Easter and Christmas. This was the first year I wasn't praying my heart out that she would go to the altar call. I was sure she was saved. Yeah, it was just a completely different experience, yeah. You know? It was just so...
Because you heard she had an experience at camp with one of the counselors that said that she had a miraculous
No, but even before that, at the little deliverance church we went to at the battle cry.
Yep.
I witnessed the surrender to the Lord. But she had subsequent experiences in camp as well. Hmm. So when she sat next to me and I prayed, I was just like, the Lord just gave me the comfort. Not saying that this isn't going to be an easy road at all. So remember, the whole sanctification, justification process for all of us is long and arduous. Sometimes our people are able to give up vices and sins immediately. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes people backslide for a while. So it definitely doesn't mean it's smooth sailing. But I wanted the confidence to know that no matter what happened to her, that she would see the Lord face to face. So like, I don't know, I just, you know, you as a parent of a child that struggles with, you know, addictions and things like that, you always worry that one day your child will succumb to it. And I remember from the pastor of Saddleback, so the name suddenly escaping me, what his wife wrote about his son, that he's like, I love my son so much, but he just gave up. And he just wanted to go to Jesus. And he just gave up. And it was like, oh, it sunk in my heart. Because I said, oh my God, if God forbid she gives up or she gets in a car accident, I want her to see Jesus on the other side. Mm. I'm like, please, Lord, I just need to know if she's going to see you on the other side. And so that's the comfort it gives me, because this life is short. And, you know, we have our dear friend Melissa and Byron and her son lost his battle with drugs and took a bad dose of fentanyl and died. But she knows that he had faith before he died. He was actually sleeping in his pastor's house that night and stuck out and went partying with some friends and died of a fentanyl overdose. On his way back to his mom, having run away from a boarding school. But she has the comfort of knowing that he's with the Lord. So that's what today meant. That's what that salvation means to me.
That's awesome.
And to see you there with her.
Yes. And we have to go back and read Psalm 1:1-3. We got excited.
Yes.
And didn't read that yet. But let me just move that. So, yeah, I was lucky enough. Pastor Bob made it a point to say any fathers that want to join their children that are going to be baptized to do that. So I was lucky enough to be able to do that. So here's just a little bit of a photo. Let me see if I can make that any different there. Okay, there we go. I don't like it when it's not centered. So there's us getting ready. We're praying. Or did we? No, we already dunked.
Huh? No, you already dunked.
Yeah, we already dunked. And now just had the opportunity to pray over Zara. And it was a great moment. I was so thankful to dunk. And then hopefully it looked like the water got on my face. So they didn't see that I was crying like a baby. It was tough. I mean, just walking in line. Just because we would chat about something here or there. Or we'd see something happening. And then she reached over and kind of hugged me, and I started crying just because she hugged me. Nothing was said. It just, so crazy. And then I was able to give her a big hug and a kiss and started crying again.
And in UK, if you've heard me speak about it, these two pastors you see in this picture, the guy with the dark sunglasses is Pastor Josh Tirada. He's the head youth pastor, and he's the reason my daughter wanted to come to this church. Zara wanted to come to this church is because of him. And Daryl is the associate pastor, the one with the cap that was with Andy Dunkinger.
Great guy. He was shivering because the water was so cold. And then there we are.
There's us. Yeah. Pre-dunk.
Pre-dunk. We're a little still dry. but what a great picture. I love that picture. It was awesome. What a great time we had there. Great day.
And I mentioned on the broadcast, I mentioned in the post, for those of you that are friends of ours, friends of my own Facebook, I said April to April in response to April. She's like, oh my God, I love watching the journey of your family. And I said, it was such a hard decision for us to leave Chino Hills. Mm. And we talked to Pastor Jack about it, and to get planted in a local church. And then to see this be the fruit of it is just the Lord telling us, hey, I got you.
Yeah.
You know, you made the right choice.
We followed his prompting.
Yes.
Whether it was an audible voice or just a little like
nudge,
little push.
Yep.
It does just kind of make it all come together.
Right.
And the, just, yeah, so hard to leave, Chino Hills, but, how we've been welcomed at this church, East Anaheim, is just, nothing I've ever experienced. Oh. It was one thing to go to Chino Hills. It was absolutely where we were supposed to be because that's where we met. It was part of that journey that God had us on. He goes, I need to get into a church that's teaching the Bible. And,
for both of us.
Now you couldn't handle this before any time during your life.
Yes.
This church is what you need now. Cause you would not, he's talking to me, not you.
No, I needed it too. I was at elevation. Remember?
Yeah. And it's so great because we learned so much. We gained so much knowledge and understanding of what it really meant to be a Christian. What it meant to
courage
to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which I never understood before. No, I never heard it before. Who knows whether I was ever told it before, but I never heard it. It doesn't mean that people aren't telling. Yeah, that people could have said it. I just wasn't hearing it. And then to make such a good connection with Pastor Jack, where we would meet with him and be able to talk with him and interview him on our show, and it seems like that seems like you should really stay at the church. And it really was the opposite. It was
like an earthquake. It was weird seismic shift.
It was a little bit of Jack saying, I still love you guys, but I know that there's something else that your family needs.
Right.
And our building is not it. We're still part of the church.
Right. Forever.
But coming to this building is not you know,
mandatory.
It doesn't mean that you're no longer following God. It's right. Just you're not coming to this building that happens to be in Chino Hills. There's a building closer to your home where you can have a greater connection for your kids. And that's what's more important. But today was the day that it showed.
Right.
That's what was supposed to happen.
And especially because, and then in the evening, we had our community group dinner, which was the culmination of our 6-week study as community leaders. Mm-hmm. So we hosted a group in our church, in our home for 8 weeks.
Yeah. And again, just being there, just people that just, it feels like family.
Right.
And
it's amazing. Very
another,
cool.
Another form of confirmation.
Yes.
That God put us in the right place because we all sat together and ate together. We sat together during worship. We talked and chatted a little bit before we left and hugged everybody other than the one guy.
Someone ditched us.
Somebody ditched us. But other than that, no, that was just a little funny side story. But yeah, what a day of confirmation. The day we should mark in our calendars, April 7th, 2024, a day of confirmation that God has us at every step.
Amen.
And holding our hand as we walk through these.
And he has you too, friends.
So amazing.
Trust in the Lord.
Let's get the comments and then we'll go back to Psalm.
Okay.
In 1 second, you want to go through?
It's a choppy wee journey. My pillow is wet, Corrine said. Watching you cry, Andy.
Denise. You cried first.
I did cry first. So rare.
I know.
Denise, what a beautiful day. I pray I have that one day with my children. Amen, Denise. Amen. Never give up hope.
Yep.
You've got me crying. What a lovely moment. Stop it, Andy. You got me crying. See, I told you it's your crying, not mine.
Why me? Why do I have to cry?
Where did we leave off? Yes, just beautiful pictures. Thank you, Kelly.
I gotta say that another thing that happened during the baptism, you're gonna have to go back up and click that.
Oh,
welcome. Is another gentleman which we've discussed before. This is a man who was gender confused. He was gay, and he started a movement because he found himself arguing against all of the gender issues that were coming through our schools.
Sexualization of kids and
everything had to do with
bathrooms,
boys in the girls' locker room dressed as girls, all the boys in the girl sports, all that stuff. And he says, well, this is not what the gay, first of all, God says, hey, you happen to, while you're in this little confusion state, You need to do something before you leave. You need to tell people, as a gay person, since you happen to be gay right now, that all that stuff is nonsense. That my sexuality or my confusion does not need to be brought upon the children in the way that they're trying to do it. And he did that. He created a movement called Gays Against Groomers. And Gays Against Groomers would talk about how they're grooming kids in Disney movies and at schools and in other ways that they're doing that. And his organization did that very well. Well, in Orange Unified School District, they were recalling two of the school board members. And we'd seen Frank before coming to our school and speaking at school board meetings and other school districts. But he had made a connection with Madison, one of the school board members, who was recalled. Yeah, and then eventually got recalled. But they connected. And she's a member of Calvary Chapel East Anaheim. And began bringing him to church. I don't know the entire story. Maybe one of these days we'll be able to get him on and ask him some questions. But as time went on, he found himself understanding that God is real, and that God does not want him to be confused about his gender. That he's a man, and he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And today, right before Zara got baptized, he was baptized. And I was able to be there and take some video and some pictures and hug him and just tell him how grateful I am.
His face shined like the sun.
Yeah.
It's just, he's been completely transformed.
His, one of the things that started another crying round with me is that I said, so who's here is with you? He goes, my entire family. I go, what does that mean? Your entire family? Like your mom and dad? And he goes, 12 of his family members. Oh. And other people that in his circle were there. So he said,
you know how many people have been praying for him? Event?
Oh, so many.
Oh.
And that was just like, oh my gosh.
Never give up praying.
Nicest folks. Guy.
Never give up praying. I when I posted those pictures, I thought of all the people when they were commenting and how many prayer warriors on that post that had prayed with me and cried with me and never give up and tell as many believers as you can what you're struggling with. Pray for one another so that you shall be healed. Go to your elders, be anointed with oil. Like, you know, just allow your community to share your burdens. You'll look back on it and just be amazed at how many people went to the throne of the Lord and pleaded on your behalf. It's just a remarkable gift. It really is.
His name is Frank Rodriguez. So when you get a chance, pray for him and his salvation and that he continues moving forward and walking with God. But such a cool story.
Yes.
All right. I want to get back to real quick to Psalm 1, 1 through 3. So we don't bypass that.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Perfect. Amen. Transition between Frank Rodriguez and...
Isn't it? Isn't it? And God's advice to us, don't walk in the counsel of ungodly. Don't be around people that are ungodly. Do not sit with sinners. Do not sit in those who are the scornful, people that scoff at religion. I actually, I know we're supposed to be witnessing to atheists and people of other faiths, but I really have absolutely zero patience for family members and others who have hostilities to God. You know what I mean? Like that say really nasty things. I do anything possible to change the conversation. Cause to me, that's, you don't throw pearls to swine. It's a really negative conversation. And I don't want them blaspheming the Holy Spirit and forever being damned either. Cause God knows maybe they could change. So those are the scoffers and the scornful people I really do try to avoid with talking about issues of faith.
Yeah, so good.
Look at this cute picture.
Real quick, I just want to show
you. Oh my God, yes. That is the greatest picture. Look at Frank. If you see this twinkle in his eye, I'm telling you, it was not there before. This is faith. It's what faith does.
It was just before we went up. And he, like I said, he was right in front of us. But yeah, take a look at his face and just picture his face when you pray for him. He needs, obviously, still a lot of prayer and needs a lot of prayer warriors to get him through the few phases that you go
through. Yes, absolutely. Zara, too.
Yeah. Look at Zara. And I love is she's smiling.
Right?
Because she often just likes to make these other faces.
Yeah, stick out her tongue.
It's so awesome. Oh, what a day, Schnooks.
Yeah, fantastic. Started the book of Revelation, Pastor Bob.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
No.
Revelation, day one.
Awesome.
This is a great time for you guys to start. If those of you that aren't in this area, watch the replays of our messages at Calvary Chapel, East Anaheim.
And I totally recommend it even for those of you who go to Chino Hills, because he's Calvary's trained just similar to Pastor Jack. But he has a different perspective. His heart is different. So his focus is different. And, of course, Jack's done a lot of exegesis on Book of Revelation. But Pastor Bob brings a unique perspective to it. So we encourage you to listen to it. This was the opening sermon, and it was fantastic. Just even the little nuggets we got today as the opening, I'd never heard before. I never heard emphasized. It's not that we didn't read it, but like, for example, the first few verses, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. So the first question he asks of us is, are you a bondservant or just a believer? Is this message geared to you or not? Because the difference between a bondservant and a believer just shows up on Sunday. A bondservant has given his life to Christ, that it gives his life in service to the church, to the community, gives his life over to be led by the Lord. Just this juxtaposition of what it means to just be a believer or a bondservant. So is this message written to you to edify and teach you something special about the Lord in the coming days, because you are special to the Lord? And I was like, that's amazing.
And I like his message about why it is we need to pay attention to Revelation and why we need to understand it and learn it, because it's about our future. And he writes in our notes here, it says, God shows us the future so we stay focused. And again, this is something that I've completely missed, but not many pastors teach on Revelation.
Right. Heard it in Friends, I'm sure.
But to understand that is just going to be so much more of a reason for me to really understand what Revelation, the book of Revelation, is all about, so that I can stay focused to understand and hear it and to learn about why all this is going to happen,
right, and who Jesus is.
Yeah,
it's all about Jesus, the King of King and the Lord of Lords, and the line of Judah, the root of David, like the majesty with which he will return, and what it means for us as the church, and what will happen in the Great Tribulation. Like, all of these things not only have a historical context, but in a future context, but a practical context for us, for the church today, and for what it means for our lives moving forward.
Yeah, the very top, that, that's Unveiling Revelation is the title of today's sermon, and it's, and I just wrote what he said, and that's all about Jesus. Everything. I mean, you just learning again also that the Old Testament's all about Jesus.
Right.
The New Testament's all about Jesus. And Revelation is all about Jesus. Everything's about Jesus.
Well, and again, but that's, it brings us back to the initial point of why my greatest, I think, argument to Muslims is, if you were to read the Bible, then you would understand the centrality of Jesus is because the Lord wanted to save us. So he showed in the Old Testament, you guys are not capable of being saved without some help. Yes. You guys will mess it up no matter what. So you can't understand the value and appreciate the value of why God would come incarnate unless you read the Old Testament. And then as you read the New and he fulfills everything that he promised he would do, that God is, this is a plan. God intended all this. None of this happened by accident. And they would have a sense of that, that Jesus is part of God's entire, that Jesus was God's focus for all of civilization, for all of mankind. It will put Christ and his role in humanity and in the world and in God's plan in proper perspective. The God-man.
Yes. That whole thing about bondservant or being a slave to God, to Jesus, and understanding what that means. You know, being a slave to a man is not good.
Not good.
But you do want to be a slave to God, and to have that honor to be a bondservant.
Yes.
Is hard to understand until you listen to Pastor Bob speak about Revelation.
Yeah.
And the Bible. And then he brought up Psalm 84:10 that says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness."
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Just have to stand there and just be the guy that opens the door.
Yes.
You know, on the outside is so much better than being all snuggled up in a nice warm tent in wickedness.
Yeah. And tents are not warm. Like, well, you said in those snuggle, days. But I thought of a tent and I'm like, ooh, tent. Yikes. I'd rather be in the house. I don't like tents.
In those days, I don't know that houses were much better than tents.
Really?
You know, back in, you know.
Whatever. The tabernacle sounds pretty cool, though.
Well, not very many people got to stay in the tabernacle. such a good day. Wow. Just so amazing.
And Kelly says, we absolutely need to pray for one another.
Yeah.
And Kate says, please pray for my brother, Paul. I was blessed to FaceTime with him yesterday, but he's ready to let go and hasn't turned to Jesus. We definitely will pray for Paul.
Paul's one who has cancer.
Yes.
Doesn't have long. All right.
Did we do it?
So we'll put Frank on the prayer list. Yes. Zara, of course. And Paul.
And Paul. And Denise's children, I know too.
Okay.
Oh, dear Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, for your promises are true, and you never disappoint. You never break your promises. You will not break your promise to the children of Israel or to the church or to any of your sons and daughters, Lord. We're so grateful for that reliability, for that dependability, for that unchanging nature of yours. And we ask that you bless our family, that you lift those up that are new in their walk with you, Lord, and that you show them miracles and signs and wonders in their lives that all point to you, Lord. For those of our family members that have not yet gotten to know you, for Kate's brother, Paul, and for Denise's children and for Lisa's children, I'm not sure about Corrine's children, but we'll throw them in there too. Can you please, Lord, show up in a miraculous way? Can you humble them, bring them to their knees, whatever it takes, Lord, to meet you where they are so that they can have their own road to Damascus experience where the light will shine and blind them, that they will know there's no other explanation than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one their mother spoke of, the one their aunt spoke of, the one their grandmother prayed about. Lord, just remind them of all the people that have been interceding and standing in the gap for them and lifting them up in prayer. We ask that you give us all wellness and healing and restoration for illnesses, Lord, and that for Frank, that you renew his mind, that you give him a right spirit that renews his soul and his spirit in a way in which he feels that transformation and that he goes through the sanctification process quickly, Lord. And that you change his lusts and his temptations, that they leave him quickly and that he turns everything over to you, Lord. We love you. We honor you with all that we are. We offer ourselves as living sacrifice. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, good. I'm glad we added your kids too, Corrine.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for your prayers.
Yes. We love you guys. God bless.
God bless.